All right. Well, we'll try it this way. Well, let me just take a few minutes and thank you so much for that tour service and, you know, great worship today, a good song selection, and really enjoyed that. Let me just take a few minutes and just share a bit about the announcements. For anyone that's visiting today, you know, don't rush away after the service. We have a special time after the service. We call it Oneg. It's a special, we delight in the Sabbath, and so it's a time that we go downstairs and we have fellowship and we sit around tables and nosh together, and so there's food and refreshments, so make sure that everybody comes down, because that's really an important part of helping to strengthen our community. Also, let's see here. Just looking ahead a little bit, we have August 18th. At 6:30, we have our Erev Shabbat dinner, and so everyone is invited for that. I'm going to be showing a little short video on Israel. It's only about 35 minutes, called I Am Israel. It's really quite a strong and powerful experience in Israel. So that will be as part of the Shabbat dinner on August 18th. Want to also welcome Marion Washburn back from Israel. You know, she was really a busy girl over there, and she spent a lot of time going around and visiting the various ministries in our that we support, and so we're going to give you opportunity, to share the Neoneg, you know, about your experiences. So I really appreciate all the time and effort that she took to go around and visit all these ministries, and so we'll be talking more about that. Maybe, you know, I'm not sure exactly. We'll kind of work out a time that we can do it together. Okay, and also we have a special shower coming up on August the 19th, is it? Yeah, we'll be celebrating the recent births of Samuel Braun, Samuel Schindel, and Noah Itzhak with a joint baby shower. So that's going to be happening during the Oneg at 1:30. And so if you'd like to bless them with a gift or some cards or whatever, just to honor them, and really want to really bless our children as we do every week. You know, and so this is an opportunity for you to be a blessing to them. I think that's pretty much it for the announcements. They're already in the bulletin here, other than there's this youth event happening August the 10th to the 12th this coming week. So hopefully some of our youth who I don't see too many youth here today, but hopefully there will be some youth that will be attending this special outreach. We were invited by the Restoration House here. It's a citywide youth event, so it's not just the Restoration House, but so hopefully there will be some of our youth who will attend as well. And just also remember you tithe the offering, as we are reminded every week. And so we just pray that we'll be faithful in our giving. And I think that's it for the announcements, unless I missed anything. Justine. Is there any way you can get this working there? A little bit. Justine, 1, 2. Okay, well, I guess I'll have to use the microphone here. Well, you know, over the past month, as I took, a sabbatical from speaking, I really had the opportunity to take some time to pray, study, and reflect on our congregation and our vision. And part of my purpose in taking this time was to really pray and think about how to develop a vision for training up and equipping leaders. Okay, maybe I should go over there then, if that's... And so I really felt there was a real need for us to really begin to work on how to train up and equip leaders in our congregation. And this is an area of real need. And I believe that we have a lot of potential in our congregation. And Lord's gifted our congregation with some amazing people. And so I'm really, really blessed to say that. You know, my goal in ministry is to be like the Apostle Paul. And he shared in Colossians 1:28, the whole goal of his ministry was to proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Messiah. So God wants to bring all of us to a place of maturity, so that we can really experience the fullness of God's presence in our life. And our goal is to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature men and women, That's our goal. We want to get beyond the baby stage, and we want to begin to eat the meat of the Word. And so I really, really believe that God wants to teach us to grow deeper in our walk with Him. But having said this, I believe the Lord spoke to me that we have drifted away and lost focus on what our main purpose is as a congregation. And that's on me, you know, because that's my, you know, that's my role as a shepherd. You know, last week, Jerry gave an excellent message on being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. We read and we hear the Word of God, but we don't always practice and obey what we read and what we hear. You know, James chapter 2 tells us, "But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not hearers only, who deceive ourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a natural man who looks at himself in the mirror. And once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgot what kind of a person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, and not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." You know, one very important area that I believe we have fallen short in is what Yeshua commanded us in Matthew 28:18-20. If we could maybe, Melinda, if you could just turn to that slide. A very familiar scripture. Just before Yeshua ascended the Father, he came to them, his disciples, and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We've read and we've heard these words many, many times. But how many of us are obeying what Yeshua commanded us? Has the Great Commission become the Great Omission? And when's the last time that you shared your faith with someone or led someone to the Messiah? Is this something that you even think about each day as you begin your day? Do you pray, "Lord, bring someone into my life today that I can be a witness for you"? How many of us even know how to share the gospel and are confident in knowing how to lead someone to the Messiah? Is it something that makes us a little bit fearful and uncomfortable? I'm sure that we're all guilty as charged. We've all fallen short. We have not been obedient to this Great Commission. And we've commanded to share this good news and to make disciples. And this is one of the most important commands that Yeshua gave to his followers before he ascended the Father. In fact, this command is repeated no less than 5 times in the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, in Mark 16, in Luke 24, John 20, Acts 1:8, we'll be kind of speaking about those in the coming weeks. But there is a strong emphasis that Yeshua commanded us to be his disciples and to go and proclaim the good news of the gospel. So we were commanded to not only introduce people to the Messiah, which is the most important because it will determine their eternal destiny. But salvation is only the first step in the kingdom of God. We have a responsibility to become a true disciple of Yeshua. So it's not enough to just be satisfied that we got saved and we have our fire insurance and we can just sit back and just enjoy our life until the Messiah comes. We have a responsibility to become a true disciple of Yeshua and to train and equip others to become a disciple. Yeshua commanded us to immerse others in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've been called to bring people into knowledge and the fullness of the Messiah and bring them to maturity. You know, when I was a young believer, I was involved in a ministry called the Navigators. It was a campus ministry. And it was a strong emphasis on discipleship. We, you know, studied the Word of God. We prayed together. We memorized the Scriptures. We did a lot of outreach on the campuses, you know, of Calgary here. And I memorized hundreds of scriptures as a young believer. But one scripture that they really emphasized over and over again is 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. He says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Messiah Yeshua, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of other witnesses, entrust them to fight faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And that's called the principle of multiplication. It's not enough to just bring someone to the Messiah, that we need to reproduce our life in another believer that we introduce to the Yeshua. We don't just lead someone to the Messiah and just kind of leave them as an orphan. We need to be personally involved in their lives and really help them to grow in their faith and become mature so they also can become a disciple and reproduce their life in others. But, you know, bringing someone to faith is only the beginning of our spiritual journey. Part of our role as a believer is to train faithful men and women and teach them to observe all that Yeshua commanded us, so they will be able to teach others also. Yeshua spent 3 years with his 12, training the 12 to be his Talmudim, his disciples. And they were so well trained and equipped that they became the apostles and the foundation of the Messianic community in the first century. Now, most of us believe that we're living at the end of the age, and that many of us will witness the coming of the Messiah. And when we stop and think about it, that's a very sobering thought, to realize that the world has gone through 6,000 years of history. We're coming to the end of human history. And to realize that we have been chosen to be part of this last generation, that's a tremendously unique privilege that God has given to us. To live, be alive in the generation that will witness the coming of the Messiah, who will come in power and great glory, and he will execute his authority and judgment upon the nations. And for the past 2,000 years, the Lord has been gathering together people from all the nations of the earth, from every tribe, kindred, and tongue. He's always preserved the remnant of Jewish people throughout history. In every generation, there's always been a remnant of Jewish people that he has preserved. But I believe that in these last days, we will witness the greatest revival and the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the world has ever seen. And I've said so often that Adonai is saving the best wine until the end. You know, John 4:35 says, Yeshua said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they're white for harvest." There's a great harvest field to be reaped from the earth. Now we have in our yard, we have like 3 apple trees in our backyard. And all week, I've been hearing apples falling from our trees. Our trees are literally filled, overflowing with apples, and they need to be harvested. And that's a picture of where we are today. There's a tremendous harvest to be gathered in. There are many nations today that are ripe for picking. I think North America has a little ways to go, but I believe that there's many other nations where the gospel is going forth and many are coming to faith in great numbers. Yeshua said in Matthew 24:14, if you could just kind of move the slides ahead a little bit there, Melinda. Yeah, just keep going. That one there. Matthew 24:14. "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And so those who believe that the coming of the Messiah is imminent, he could come every day, Yeshua said there's a requirement for his return, which means that all the nations of the earth have to be hear the good news of the kingdom. Which means that we play an important role, we have an important part before the Messiah returns. And Adonai has been patiently waiting in every generation for people to believe. This next scripture in 2 Peter 3, I believe there's one there. "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not willing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to a knowledge of the truth." God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It says that in Ezekiel, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He said, "Turn from your sinful ways that you may live." God's been patiently waiting in every generation for people to believe in him. But Yeshua said that we need to pray for laborers to go out into the harvest field. And I believe that's the next one in Matthew 9. It says, now Yeshua was going around all the towns and the villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were troubled and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers into his harvest field. And this is our responsibility. You know, as the Messianic congregation, an important part of our vision is to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this next scripture is Romans 1:16. It really defines what is the mandate of our congregation. But we have a special love and calling to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Paul said in Romans 1:16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's a part of salvation, the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And that's usually where most believers end that scripture. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's a power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. But if you go on, it says to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For the righteousness of God, from the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And so we are a people of God that are not to be ashamed to share the good news of the gospel. And Yeshua taught there are at least six qualities or traits that define a true disciple. And of course, I'm not going to go through all of them today. I'm going to just take one, the first one. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have loved one for another. So a disciple is one who loves others as Messiah loves us. And we'll be kind of going through this for the next few weeks. I'm going to be doing a series of messages on this and going through each one of these and really outlining, you know, what is the role of a real disciple, a follower of Yeshua, because I believe that's really important. That's really what I believe God has really called me to really focus on in the coming year, is to really help us to be more outreach-minded, to begin to get beyond our comfort zone and to begin to reach out and share the good news of Messiah, because we are living in prophetic times and there's so many things happening around us. We can't just sit in our comfortable pews and just be happy and satisfied with our salvation, because there are a lot of people out in the world who are dying and are going to hell, and that we need to be have more of a burden and compassion. Like Yeshua said, he looked upon the multitudes and he had compassion for them. He wept over Jerusalem because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And so the first one is a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Secondly, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We're not quite, if you will go back, Melinda, to the earlier slides there, because we want to kind of just briefly touch on where we're going to be going the next little while. And so a disciple is one who is committed to the word of God and who walks in truth. We are a people of God that really want to walk in truth, because we live in a world today that's so much deception, you know, and so resistant to what the truth is. And thirdly, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. A disciple is one who is willing to deny himself, to not love the world or the things of the world, but to put Yeshua first in our lives. And then number four, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Of course, Yeshua is not saying that we're to hate our mother and father, our wife and husband. That's why a lot of Jewish people kind of question Yeshua's, you know, what Yeshua said here. But it's really talking about the type of love that we are to have. Our love is that it should be so great towards the Father. You know, that it's so great that it's not that we, you know, just like our father, mother, of course not. But God wants us to have that passion and love for him. And number five, whoever does not deny his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then number six, you know, as I shared, the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. We need to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send out labors into the harvest. And so we need to be a people of God, a disciple who is committed to bring a labor, to be a labor in the harvest. So this morning I want to speak on the first quality of a disciple, love. And we can turn to the next one on John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give you, we've heard this many times, that you love one another even as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have loved one for another. And love is one of the greatest signs of being a disciple of Yeshua. And this week's Torah portion, Echev, speaks of God's love for Israel. Last week's Torah portion began with the words from Deuteronomy 7. I think we have that one there, if you can turn to the next one. It's not because you are more numerous than all the peoples that Adonai set his love on you and chose you. For you are the least of all peoples, because Israel is the smallest of all the nations of the earth, only having 0.5% of the whole world's population. Rather, because of his love for you and his keeping the oath he swore to your fathers. Adonai brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that Adonai your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant kindness for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his mitzvot, his commandments. And then going on into the next one, continuing on, if you could turn the slide there, Melinda. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, like what was said, be doers of the word, not hear. Don't just read the word, but do it. Obey it. Then Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you, increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, your new wine and olive oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. You'll be blessed more than any other people. It all seems so simple. Just love and obey. There's no other way. And God promised he would bring tremendous blessing upon his people. But of course, Israel chose the path of disobedience. And they did not obey the commandments that God gave to them. Even as today, many of us have a relationship with God, but we don't always obey. We don't always follow what Yeshua has commanded us to do. And one of the Hebrew words for love is chesed, H-E-S-E-D. And in the Greek, love is defined as agape in the New Covenant. God's unconditional love. And that's really what it is, God's unconditional love. God loves us in spite of our disobedience, in spite of who we are. God loves us just as we are. And throughout the Tanakh, we see chesed translated in a number of ways. As steadfast love, as mercy, as loving kindness and goodness. In the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 54, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love, chesed, for you will not be shaken. Now, you know that love is mentioned 348 times in the New Covenant. Not even counting how many times it's mentioned in the Tanakh and the Torah. Love is one of the predominant features of the New Covenant community. Yeshua came to establish a chesed, a loving community on earth to reflect God's love in his people. God wants us to be a community that really walks in love for each other. It says, by this all men will know you're my disciples if you have loved one for another. We're to do good to all men, especially to those who are the household of faith. But you know, this began the moment we entered into a relationship with Messiah. It says in 1 John 3:1, I'm not sure if that one's there. See what great love the Father, not quite, has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. His desire is to lavish us with his love and his grace. And we are to be like a spiritual family glued together by the Father's love. And so if the primary purpose of a congregation is to create a loving community of disciples, we should expect Yeshua's teachings to reflect that. And that's exactly what it does. Throughout Yeshua's teaching of his gospel, he spoke a lot about love. And there was one time where Yeshua was once asked by an expert in the law who came to test Yeshua. And we recite this every week in our Torah service. What is the greatest commandment in the Torah? This expert in law asked Yeshua, thinking that he would, stump Yeshua. And so we recite this every Shabbat as a reminder. You shall love Adonai, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the Torah and the prophets. And so Yeshua summarized the entire Torah and the prophets in one word, love. And according to Yeshua, the rest of the commandments in the Torah are specific instructions of how we are to love God and how we are to love one another. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four relate to our relationship with God, and the last of the commandments relate to our, you know, coming together on Shabbat, but then it relates to how we are to love our neighbor. And then in John 15, Yeshua uses the analogy of a vine and branches to explain our relationship with Him and the Father. Yeshua said in John 15, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Not by our strength, by our power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. The one who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And then in going on into verse 9 to 14, just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See how many times Yeshua speaks the word love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. When we have a deep, loving relationship with the Father, you know, there's not only that experience of that love, but there's a joy and a peace in our hearts. It says, this is my commandment that you love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command you. Let me just share an illustration about unconditional love and how we can learn a lesson from a small 8-year-old little boy. And there was a family involved in a serious car accident. And Michael, the youngest of the two brothers involved, was seriously injured and needed a blood transfusion. Michael's older brother, Daniel, who was only eight years old, had the same blood type as his younger brother. So the dad sat down with Daniel and carefully explained to him why this blood transfusion was needed and how wonderful it would be for him to give his blood to his younger brother. So after some silence, Daniel responded by saying, yes, Daddy, I'll give my blood to Michael so he can get well. And so at the hospital, a pint of blood was drawn from Daniel's veins. Only after Neil was removed did Daniel turn to his father with tears rolling down his cheeks and ask, Daddy, how long will it be before I die? And the father realized that with a shock that Daniel had misunderstood his explanation of giving blood. Daniel thought he was giving all his blood to save the life of his brother. He thought he would die after the transfusion was given. Yet he still had agreed to help his younger brother. So Daniel was willing to die so his little brother would live. And you know, that's what Messiah did for us. He shed his own blood to give us life. And life everlasting. He laid down his life willingly. It was all because of his love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So the image of a vine and the branches is a clear picture of being connected, being attached to the vine. If we're attached to Yeshua, if we abide in him, we will bear fruit. It's impossible for us not to bear fruit. If we are truly abiding in the vine and we really know what it means to abide in his love, if there's no attachment, there's no fruit. Yeshua said, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so it'll bear more fruit. Yeshua said, if anyone does not abide in me and my love, he is thrown away like a branch and is dried up. Such branches are picked up and thrown into fire and burned.
As we stay connected to the Father, you know, His love will flow through us because we are connected to the vine. Think about the image of Yeshua being the vine of the olive tree. We talk a lot about the olive tree in Romans 11. You know, the olive tree, we are the branches on the tree. And our love for Yeshua is keeping us attached to Him. His life-giving Spirit is flowing through us, filling us with His love, His joy, and His peace. So we are the branches on the olive tree. As long as we stay connected with Yeshua and one another, we will bear fruit. You know, the apostles spoke, you know, they continued on as Yeshua did by speaking about the love of the Father. And in 1 John 4, 7 through 9, Yochanan wrote this amazing, you know, statement about love. He said, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world, we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." I really encourage you to read 1 John this coming week, you know, and to really challenge you about how important, you know, God's love is in our lives. See, healthy relationships are one of the key elements of a growing community of God's people. When a community of God's people are walking in the fruit of the Spirit and demonstrating love and unity, who wouldn't want to be part of that community? I mean, here the first century community in Acts chapter 2 talks about how they were devoting themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. "And fear fell upon all those who were gathered together, and they witnessed many wonders and signs. People were being healed. People were being set free. The fear of God was upon them. And all who believed were together and shared with anyone as anyone had need. And they met together daily, house to house, eating bread and having meals together, praising God. And it says, the Lord added to their numbers daily those who are being saved." So that's what we really desire, to have that kind of a community. Whether we'll ever reach that type of community, you know, it's difficult to say. But that's something that every generation has sought to model their community after Acts 2. Because who would not want to be part of a community where there's so much love and there's the power of God, people are being healed, people are being set free, there's signs and wonders happening, the reality of God is there among them. Now, there are many who have been attending our congregation who for some time now and may still not quite feel connected. It takes time and effort and sacrifice by everyone to build a healthy community. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building of itself in love." Your body is only as strong as the members are connected and committed to it. Our vision and purpose for Beth Shekinah is to build a community of God's people that's characterized by love and warmth and acceptance among the members, where both Jewish and non-Jewish believers can come together and we can fellowship together, that we can seek to meet each other's needs. And God is drawing many people into Beth Shekinah to learn about the Messianic vision and the Jewish roots of their faith, because we're living in God's appointed time to favor Zion. We're living at that time in history. And there's this is all really amazing and wonderful, but we must never lose sight of the fact that there are people in our congregation who have genuine needs. And no matter how much we learn about our Jewish roots, it will not fulfill a heart that is longing for relationship, a heart that is sick in body and needs healing, a family that is in need of employment, someone who is in need of encouragement in prayer. We need everyone to be working together and demonstrate that kind of love. So I really encourage us, you know, and to really be more proactive, you know, in really seeking to reach out even to one another in our congregation, to take time to go through the directory and begin to make an effort to pray for one another. The new directories are coming out in September, I believe, beginning of the new year. Melissa's working on that. But we really pray that God would really begin to help us to be a little bit more aware of those needs that are around us. And many of us have been together for a number of years, and we've built some good, healthy relationships. There are some people who are more newer to our congregation. We want everyone to feel that they're loved and accepted. And I've said this so often, when a visitor comes into the congregation, we really want them to feel the love and the warmth and acceptance of our congregation, because I believe that's very important that we do that. And that we are to love not just word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's what the scriptures tell us. But, you know, as we have a burden to reach out to lost sheep, because that's really our heart, that's really the main message I have today, is that we really begin to be more proactive in fulfilling the Great Commission. In Romans 10, 14 and 15, I think that we have that one there. Melinda, if you can move it forward. There we go. But how can we call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. We have been commissioned to share the good news to a lost and dying world. And so how beautiful are the feet of those who bring this good news? I mean, does it grieve us and burden us knowing that people are going to hell? And do we have a message of truth that can set them free, and for whatever reason, because of fear or whatever, we are withholding that information? When Yeshua saw the crowds, as I shared earlier, he felt compassion. You see, extra, read all about it. There's good news for us to share, right? When Yeshua saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they're troubled and in helpless. There's lots of people today who are troubled, who are in great distress, anxiety. There's many who have committed suicide because of the loneliness and the rejection. There's so many needs that are all around us. We need to begin to open our eyes. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Praise the Lord of the harvest that he will send out laborers into the harvest. And so the question is, are we willing to go out in the harvest field and share the good news? And that's our challenge, to not just hear this word, but to do it and to obey it. Because Yeshua says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. It says in Proverbs chapter 11, I think we have the next one there, Linda. The fruit of the righteous, we're stuck on the good news. I guess that's a good place to stay. The good news. But it tells us in Proverbs 11, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. There he is. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. And then it says in Daniel 12, and those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So as we prepare to enter the fall season, which is the time of harvest, let's pray that Adonai will begin to get hold of us, and we will begin to become a little bit more conscious of what we've been commanded to do, to be obedient. And I know that as we come into the fall season, we talk about repentance, and certainly this is something we can repent of, is our lack of compassion, our lack of willingness to share the good news of Messiah. There's so many people around us who are in need of salvation,
and we're withholding this information. And I know we're going to be, I'm going to be challenging us in the coming weeks and as we enter into the fall season and beyond. God really wants us to, this coming year, to really begin to be a lot more outreach-minded, because we're living a time of great harvest. And God wants us to know how to share our faith. He'll provide opportunity for us to learn how to share our faith and how to introduce someone to the Messiah. We have a heart to see our Jewish friends come to salvation. You know, Paul's heart and desire was for Israel, that they might be saved. And he had such a deep burden and compassion for his people. He was even willing to be cut off for the sake of his brethren. That's how much he loved his people. And so I pray that God will begin to impress upon us, you know, the love of God in our hearts that's been shed abroad. And so, Father, we thank you, Father, for your love for us. We thank you, God, that as we have been challenged today, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, to begin to be more obedient to this great commission. Lord, we know that we are the congregation gathered together on Shabbat. And when we leave this building, we become the congregation scattered in our communities around us. And Lord, we are there to be the salt and the light in our community, to be a witness for you. So God, begin to give us a greater understanding of what this means. Lord, we know that's one reason why you told your disciples to not leave Jerusalem until they receive the promise of the Father. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. And so Lord, we know that we need the power of your Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to have the boldness and the confidence to not be ashamed to share this good news. So, Lord, help us, God, to begin to impress upon our hearts, and even in this coming week, that we would pray. And you'll give us opportunities to share our faith, that some of us sow the seed and others gather in. Father, we're seed planters, and we're reapers of the harvest. Father, each one has their own special place in your kingdom. So, Lord God, help us, God, to be more aware and burdened, to have a greater compassion for the unsaved around us, because we're surrounded by so many people today who are so hungry for truth. There's so much lies and deception in the world today, and people are buying into these lies and this deception. People are choosing to believe in a lie rather than the truth. And yet, Lord, your word said the truth will set them free, as it has set each one of us free. So God, help us, God, to have that heart and the desire. Begin to build within us the desire to want to share our faith and be a lot more conscious about this in the coming week. And in the coming weeks, in Yeshua's name, we thank you, we praise you. Amen. 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 Wow, it's only 10 after 12. I think that's record. Amen. Well, you know, let's stand together and let's just really praise Adonai. The good news is coming. That's what it says. We are the ones that are going to be bringing that good news. It's coming to a neighborhood near you, right? So this is a good song for us to end. And I really encourage you, you know, if you feel led, you know, just to come forward and to really demonstrate your desire and your willingness to say, yes, Lord, I want to be obedient. I really want to be obedient to what your word commands me to do, to go and forth, therefore, and share the good news with Messiah. So let's really have that in our heart, we pray. And so as we're reading, singing this song, we invite you to come forward as a way of dedicating your heart. Say, yes, Lord, Hineni, send me. Amen. Amen.